my gosh. Well, I love being a girl. I'm glad. Girl power is good. God made us. We're going to own it. We're going to walk in the truth that he called us to be. Amen. Nothing wrong with girl power. We're going to do it like girls. We're going to do it amazing. I know. I'm backing it up, though, you know. I'm thankful to be here tonight. And this is really loud. A little loud. I'm excited and I'm a little nervous tonight. God dropped something in my heart at the beginning of the year. I was in here, I was praying, and just been going through a kind of silent season. Do you ever go through that with God? Where you're just like trying, like you're doing everything you know to do, right? You keep praying, you keep reading, you keep showing up, you keep worshiping, and you're just like, hello. And so I've been kind of feeling like that. And so I was down here the first week of prayer when we had the prayer and fasting. Again, just like, God, we're out. Hello, you know, just give me something. And he dropped Joshua chapter 6 into my mind. And this phrase, the seventh time around, the seventh time around. And but honestly, that was it. And I was like, I laughed and I was like, okay, now what? And so I knew I was speaking tonight, and I literally had like 7 words on a piece of paper. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do, God. What am I going to do? And so I text my friends, and they started to pray for me. And God really just downloaded this message that I really, really feel is for right now, for this season, for the church. And that's probably why I'm a little nervous, because I hope I get it out exactly the way that God wants it to be said. So let's pray tonight, and we're going to talk about the seventh time around. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for just believing in us and loving us, God. And I just pray that you open up our ears and our hearts to have your mind tonight. God, less of me and all of you, in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be sitting in the book of Joshua, chapters 1-6. And in order to get to chapter 6, I just want to lay a little bit of foundation of who Joshua was, because I can't really talk about the chapter 6 until you really know what has happened up until then. So Joshua was Moses' successor. He was the guy. He was the guy that took over for Moses. And after Moses died, he was now Joshua, the leader of the Israelites. So what a job. You hear the word Moses and you're like, wow, you know, he was a great leader. He had a great influence over everyone that he came in contact with. God used him in a very powerful and mighty ways. And so whoever was going to follow after Moses, he had to be a pretty strong leader as well. So Moses, however, was not able to enter the land that God had promised him or the Israelites. So he was leading this people at the time. He led them out of slavery, and the goal was to go to the promised land. However, they never got there, because no matter what victory they faced, the Israelites and Moses never truly trusted and obeyed God. And you'll read that in Exodus, and God says to them, because you have not trusted me, because you have not obeyed me, you are now not going to be able to see the promised land. So you're going to stay here until you die. And that's exactly what happened. And so the waiting game began, and 40 years they were in the desert, in the wilderness, just waiting. And so now, 40 years later, Joshua was now the guy. He had big shoes to fill, but God knew that. God knew that. God appointed him for this time. And Joshua became a great leader, not because it was necessarily easy or natural for him, but he learned how to follow Moses first. You see, in order to be a great leader knows how to lead because he first learned how to follow. If you want to be a great leader, we need to learn how to follow first. And that's exactly what Joshua did. He went under Moses' wing. God said to Moses, pick Joshua, teach him the ways, let him come underneath you. And that's what Joshua did. He learned how to follow first. And because of that, he was underneath Moses for many years. He knew how to lead. And so here we are. In Joshua 1, verses 2-3, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. So here the journey begins into the promised land. Joshua told the Israelites, okay, pack up. It's time. Get ready. We're going to cross the Jordan River. And that's exactly what they did. God caused the Jordan River to dry up. Don't get it confused with the Red Sea. That was 40 years earlier. Okay, so a lot of these people, which I think is pretty cool, because now they heard the stories of the Red Sea, right? They didn't actually see it. So, you know, when you hear the stories from your mom and your grandparents, well, when back in my day, you know, so you know that they were telling the story, like, you should have seen it. God parted the Red Sea. And they're like, yeah. But now they get to witness a true act of God, because when they went across the Dead Sea, that God caused the sea to freeze and dry up, and they got to go across the Dead Sea. And so they witnessed who God was in real life. So here they are, ready to take down the first city God told them that they should take, and that was Jericho. Things were looking up. They are ready to go, and they're ready to do what God is telling them to do. So let's talk about Jericho. So the first city into the land flowing with milk and honey is Jericho. And this was a very strong city. It was one of the oldest cities that you'll find. It had fortified walls. It actually had two sets of them. That's why I found this picture. The walls were up to 20 feet high and 20 feet thick. At some parts of the walls, it was as high as 30 feet up and 35 feet wide. Think 4 to 6 story building, some places 10 stories to 12 stories. And what would happen is soldiers would stand up on top of these walls and they could see for miles. So nobody wanted to mess with this city because they had everything that they needed. It was a very strong military enforced city. They had everything they needed. They even had a stream running right through the walls, and it helped flourish and help give water to everybody that was in the city. So this was a thriving city. It was a strong city. It was strong, but it was small at the same time. The whole way around it was about 9 to 10 acres, which you'll want to know because they walked around the city. You know, I would be like, how did they walk around the city? Well, it was 9 to 10 acres, so it was very plausible to take 40,000 men and walk around the city of Jericho. They were small, but they were strong. They were able to withstand any attack that came their way. And that is why God said, I want you to take Jericho first. Let's show them what I can do. Let's take this city, and then you're going to be able to take anything else after that. And so here we are in Joshua chapter 5. It says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, and we know he was near Jericho, that's where they set up camp after they crossed the Dead Sea. He looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or are you for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Every single one of us is facing some sort of battle right now. You're either walking out of one, you're dead smack in front of one, or buckle up, buttercup, because one is about to come. Because that's just the cycle of life. So I don't know where you are, but battles come, right? So Joshua and the Israelites are about to go into battle. And this is what Joshua does. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? You see, before we can face any battle, we have to get face down before God. You have a battle in front of you. The first thing you should do is get face down before God. The only thing that's going to get you through the battle, the only source of wisdom that you're going to need, is to have what he has, his strategy for the battle that's in front of you. Not other people's. He will guide you to the people that you will need once you're face down with him. Not your past experience, although it helps you, it builds your character. You can glean from that. However, you're about to enter a new battle. So he's going to give you a new strategy. He wants to give you a new mindset for what you're about to face. And so before any battle, you have to get face down before God. What is God telling you right now? What is he saying to you right now? We have to get face down before God before we can face any battle. And so God begins to tell him when he's face down how to face the battle that's in front of him. In Joshua 1, 6, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, 'I have given you Jericho, its king, and all of its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give a one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into town.'" He got face down before God and God told him what to do. God gave him a strategy. But what a weird strategy. That's not like, yeah, okay, I'm going to walk around the town and then you're going to tell me I'm going to shout and the walls are going to come down. Okay. So the second thing I thought of is you got to have faith. When you get face down before God and he tells you what to do, you have to have faith that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. Because those are weird instructions. In verse 10, it says, "Do not shout. Do not even talk," Joshua commanded. "Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout." Now, I don't know about you. If I'm going for a walk around a city and I'm with my friend, I'm not going to be like, you know, I'll be like, "Hey, how's your day? Like, let's go in. Oh, my feet kind of hurt. Oh, it's really hot outside." You know, you're talking with the person that you're walking next to. And I can't even imagine walking with that many people and not having any words spoken. Like, it's just such weird instructions to me. But we have to have faith. We have to know what God said is going to happen is going to happen. Faith in God means knowing and believing that he has total control. No matter how odd the instructions are, he has total control in what he told you he was going to do. I was reading through some comments, and I love comments from little kids because, you know, faith like a child. And I found one comment that said, "I believe that this lesson teaches you that if God tells you to do something, no matter how much somebody teases you, do it anyway. God will never lie to you. No matter how strangely people look at you, if God said it, he meant it, we have to believe it. God said it, he meant it, we have to believe it." Hebrews 11:6 says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith." Where is our faith in what God is telling us that he's going to do? Is it strong? Is it there? Are we just kind of looking at him and being like, "No, God, I don't think that's right. I'm just going to do it this way." We have to have faith that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And if that means looking a little ridiculous or being made fun of, then so be it. God said it. He spoke it. He's not going to say for you to do anything that he wasn't going to come through on. So we got to have faith. We got to get face down before God, and we got to have faith. The third thing is we have to keep getting up. Joshua 6:14 says, "On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. They followed this pattern for 6 days. They kept getting up. True victory is honoring God and being faithful today. Being faithful today. Every day. Every day. They got up. They walked around. They went back to camp. Day two, they got up. They walked around. They went back to camp. Day three, they got up. They walked around. They went back to camp. Day four, they got up. They walked around. They went back to camp. Day five, day six, they got up. They walked around. And they went back to camp. Every day, Every day you get up. When you don't feel like it, you get up. When you're doubting, you get up. When you're questioning, when you don't understand, you get up. When you're sad about it, you get up. When you're mad about it, you get up. When you don't see what God sees, you get up. No matter what day it is, you keep getting up. You keep doing what he told you to do. When you don't have the answers, you get up. When you don't understand, you get up. You keep getting up. You keep giving up, even if you're excited about it. You get up. You get up, you walk around, and you keep doing what God told you to do. Victory isn't always what you accomplish later. Victory is being faithful and obedient today. Today. The victory is coming, but you have to be faithful today. You have to keep getting up today. Put yourself in the Israelite sandals, if you will. They're standing in the shadow of a huge obstacle. No one was going to fight that city. No one wanted to. No one. So here they are. They're standing in front of the city. And the battle plan that they had made no sense. It made no sense. What if by day 5 and 6, some of the soldiers were like, this is nonsense. This is ridiculous. I'm not doing this again. Because in every battle, there's going to come a time where you have to decide whether you're going to keep getting up or you're going to go back home. You have to decide because the time will come. You're going to question it. You're going to be like, God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this makes no sense. I'm just going to go back. You have to decide to keep getting up every day, step after step. They put their trust in God. They had faith in God, and they kept getting up. You see, God told them that the walls would fall, but they still had to do the marching. They still had to get up. God said, they already won. God already told Joshua, the city's yours. They had already won, but they still had to get up and do the work. They had to still get up and do the marching. They had to still get up and have the faith, even though God had already said, you won. It made no sense. Marching plus horns plus shouting equals victory. No sense. But they kept getting up. Don't lose hope. Don't lose sight. Keep getting up. I found this quote, as long as you keep getting up in the morning and as long as you keep getting up when you fall down, you're always going to make at least one step forward. That's all God's saying. Keep getting up. Keep moving one step forward. So you fall face down before God when you're facing a battle. You have the faith that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. You keep getting up because it's the seventh time around. Verse 15 says, on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they marched around seven times. The seventh time around, as the priests shouted the long blasts on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you this town. The seventh time around. We can see here that because the Israelites obeyed his instructions, God came through. Because the Israelites trusted God would do what he had said he would do, God came through. And see, that's something that their ancestors seemed to miss. That's why their ancestors didn't enter into the promised land, because they didn't obey God's word. They didn't trust that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. But this was a new generation, and that they believed that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. They trusted that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. God doesn't always give us a detailed explanation of why he's asking us to do something. That would be nice. He doesn't say, I want you to do this because this, this, and this, and this. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes he asks us to do something that doesn't make any sense. He simply just asks us to trust his wisdom and obey his commands, no matter what it is that we're facing. Do you ever feel like you're struggling and sweating and it has no purpose at all. Like you're like, I can't do this. But what I found is that through my struggle, he's just trying to teach me to lean in a little closer, to trust a little deeper, to have more faith like I've never had before. And that's what I want. I don't want to have the same little faith that I had last year. I want to keep growing in my faith. I want to keep trusting and obeying what God has for us. Because that's how we grow with him. That's how we continue our relationship with him. Keep being faithful in what God is telling you to do. And I felt so strongly tonight to tell some of you that this is your seventh time around. This is your seventh time around. You've been walking. You're like, God, I keep taking these steps. I'm trusting. I keep taking these steps. But the seventh time around, that's what made the difference. Because when the seventh time around came, they looked at the walls that were in front of them. And they shouted, and what happened? The walls came down. I was reading, and archaeologists saw that, you know, they said, oh, it was the earthquake. You know, the wall, they didn't conquer the city. How else was it going to happen? There was by no means that a man could knock the walls down. Of course it had to be an earthquake because God had to do it. God had to do it the seventh time around. And here's the thing. There's a wall in front of us, right? The only way that wall is going to fall down is if we begin to shout, if we begin to praise. Ryan said a couple weeks ago, and it actually just began to stir in my spirit. He said it in worship. I don't even know if he knew what he was saying. He said, I feel like there's a praise that's supposed to enter into this house. There's a spirit of praise that's going to enter into this house. And that's immediately what I thought of. Are these walls in front of us? Some of us we can't even lift our hands in worship because we're like, oh, we're facing this battle. We have to learn to praise before the breakthrough. How do you think the breakthrough is going to happen? We have to praise before the breakthrough happens. They had to walk around the walls. They had to shout before the walls would even fall down. We praise them when everything's good, and we praise them when we're, oh, God, I need you. Is that praise? And then when we come through, we're like, yes, God, you did it. No, we praise them before the walls come down. That's what happens with the breakthrough. It's your seventh time around, but some of us have to step out of where we've been. Maybe we have to do a little dance. Maybe we have to do a little shout. Maybe we have to raise our hands. And we praise God in the middle of our battle. In the middle of what we're facing. We praise God because he's still God. He's still God no matter what we're facing. He's still God in your life. No matter what battle you're facing. So get down before God. Face down. Whatever wall is in front of you right now, face down before God. Have faith that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to do it. He told you he's going to do it. The victory is already won. But you have to keep getting up. You have to keep marching around those walls. And the seventh time around, that's when the breakthrough is going to happen. That's because you didn't stop. That's because you didn't quit. That's because you kept going. The seventh time around that they stopped and they shouted and the walls came down. Your walls are coming down. You got to believe it and you got to begin to praise before that breakthrough happens. Let's stand tonight.
I see you move in the mountains and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move where there was mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you move.
Just lift your hands tonight.
You move the mountains.
Praise before the victory. Praise before the victory.
I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no I've seen you move and move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again.
God, we believe you tonight. God, whatever we're facing, God, we want to put you in charge. Whatever battle plan that you have for us, whatever strategy, God, that you have for us, help us to have the faith that you are going to do what you said you were going to do, God. And no matter where we are in our walk, no matter what we are facing, God, help us to keep moving forward one step at a time, each time trusting and having faith in you that you will do it. God, we thank you for being a God that comes through with your promises. We thank you, God, that the battle is already won. God, we thank you that there's praise before that victory, and we're going to see that victory, that it's our seventh time around. We thank you for that word tonight, God. Help us to live it and walk it every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've said this before, and I mean it when I say it. There are certain words that are prophetic for a season. And that word, we meet on Tuesdays. We have staff meetings on Tuesdays. And I said, what are you preaching about? She said, Joshua 6. And I said, wow, I'm preaching about Joshua 10 on Sunday. And you know when the Holy Spirit is working. You said something, though, Aaron, Pastor Aaron. You said something. You said they were obedient in the walk. And I think a lot of times God is asking us to take a step of faith. He's looking for us to make the first move. He's wanting to know if our hearts will be obedient when he does it or before he does it. And I think there's a few in here tonight. You need to take the first step. Aaron's going to be down here. She's going to pray for some of you tonight. But the Holy Spirit is working. He's moving in your life. He's asking you, he's told you, he's been speaking to you, take the first step. Walk out in faith. Take the step of faith. And you've been on the brink of collapse. You've been on the brink of, she explained, you got to keep getting back up. You got to keep that walk. And you've been on the brink of just saying, I'm done, I'm through, I'm throwing in the towel. And the Holy Spirit spoke to you tonight, take one more step. Take one more leap. I want you to come now. I'm going to pray. She's going to stay down here and pray for some of you. As I said that tonight, I felt in my spirit so clearly, there's 5, there's 8, there's 10 tonight that want prayer. You come down now. Father, in Jesus' name, we just embrace this word tonight. We thank you for moving. We thank you for that as we walk in faith, as we walk in obedience, Father, as we take that walk around these walls, the walls of our lives, Father. We thank you that you don't do it the same way you did it before. We thank you that the generations that came before us, Father, you're doing a different work. Come right up, ladies. Come right up. That you're doing a different work. You work generationally, Lord, but that you don't do it the same way because you want to see us walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you, Father, that you're tearing down the walls. That you're doing, Father, a new work in and through us tonight. We just receive your word tonight from Pastor Aaron. We thank you for prophetic words in this house. We just thank you for prophetic words in this place, Father, in this season. Even as people are somewhat discouraged and depressed in January, February because of the weather and all kinds of other things, we just ask you tonight for prophetic words to come forth in this place. If that's your prayer tonight, just wave to heaven. Just in agreement with me, just wave to heaven tonight. Father, we ask you for prophetic words in this place, and we'll give you the thanks for it. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give Pastor Aaron a hand tonight for this word? Listen. Listen, there's a couple of you. There's stars in your eyes right now that the Holy Spirit is working in and through you. If you want prayer tonight, don't leave without it. Come down and let the Holy Spirit speak to you a little further tonight. And we'll see you Sunday.